from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome to Verve Online, coming at you from the heart of Las Vegas, because church that happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas. Here we are on your phone, your computer screen, your TV, and we're glad to be here. I'm Vince Antonucci. I'm the lead pastor of Verve. I'm excited you're here. Hope you're excited to be here. Hey, would you let us know that you're here? Just like say hi in the comments. Let us know where you're watching from. So church, Verve is church for people who don't like church. It is a great place to get to know a great God and great people who are getting to know this great God. And man, we have a lot of fun together, which is important because, and too often life is not fun, right? You've been there. Things go wrong and you get to a place where you're finally like, I've had enough. What's interesting is things don't even have to go wrong. We worry about a lot of things that will never happen. In fact, research has proven most of the stuff we worry about won't ever happen. We have a lot of irrational fears. How about this in the chat room, if you're chatting today, tell us like what's an irrational fear or a phobia that you have? What are you irrationally afraid of? So I saw a study that said the top three most common fears are heights, public speaking, and dogs. Heights, blah, whew, public speaking, which makes me think of Shy Ronnie. Have you seen it? So Shy Ronnie was a character on Saturday Night Live who was afraid of public speaking. Hysterical, I think. Here is Shy Ronnie. Yes, most common fears, and the third one is dogs. So here is a guy who is afraid of dogs, but he has two coming over to his house. He's mortified. Before they arrive, he prays that the dogs know Jesus. Check him out.
Let these dogs know Jesus.
Brendan? No!
Okay, heights, public speaking, and dogs, which I guess makes sense of the recurring nightmare I have of preaching to a bunch of German shepherds on an airplane. Today we're continuing our series, Anxious for Nothing. And wouldn't that be great if there was nothing we were anxious about? Well, that's actually something God says can be a reality in our lives. God tells us that in a book called Philippians in chapter 4. This is actually where we get the name of our series. God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, which just means asking, making requests, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God says that there is a way that he can help us to move past our anxiety. And in this series, we're learning that way together. Today, we're going to look at a passage where Jesus talks about worrying. Now, is worrying the same as anxiety? Well, I will tell you, I'm not an expert on this, but I would kind of say my unprofessional opinion is maybe they're kind of close cousins. What's the difference? Well, if you study it, you'll find some people who are experts say that worry is more verbal, anxiety is more mental. I might say anxiety is accentuated or prolonged worry, where our worrying starts to have deeper and more serious ramifications. Either way, what if we could not worry? You might be thinking, oh, come on, worrying, it's not that big a deal, is it? I think it is. So the word worry comes from an Anglo-Saxon verb meaning to choke or to strangle. Yeah, kind of like that. That was Fezzik from Princess Bride. You're like, yay. Anyway, to choke or strangle, and that's exactly what it does, doesn't it? Did you know that 38% of all deaths are heart-related, and many of those are brought on by hypertension, high blood pressure, and anxiety, all of which stem from worry? Did you know that medicines for ulcers are among the most prescribed drugs? And worry is damaging to us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Jesus once told a story that reveals the spiritual danger of worry. In Matthew 13, he talks about this farmer, and he goes out and he plants seeds. And in the middle of the story, Jesus says this. He says, other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Well, Jesus' disciples, the guys he was teaching, they ask him, bro, what are you talking about? And Jesus explains this metaphor he's using. He says that seed that fell among the thorns represents a person who hears the good news about the love of God and accepts it, but then over time, worry chokes the life, the spiritual life, right out of them. Whoa. Jesus says that worrying can strangle our relationship with God. Worrying is a big deal. So we need to understand why we worry, and we need to win the war on worry. And Jesus can help us. We're going to read some of his teaching in a book called Matthew. It's one of the four books that walk through Jesus' life, chapter 6 of Matthew. And when we get there in a minute, you're going to notice that three times Jesus says, do not worry. Now, that might sound impossible. You can't not worry. Well, I don't think Jesus would tell us not to worry if it was impossible to not worry. We may need to establish the difference between concern and worry. Concern focuses on probable difficulties, and it results in action. There's something we can do about it. Worry focuses on circumstances that are beyond our control and results in inaction. Worry is wondering, what if? What if I get cancer? What if my kid has an accident on the way home? What if I lose my job? What if there's a natural disaster? What if he leaves me? Someone has said that worrying is enjoying a crisis before it arrives. So we're going to see Jesus tell us not to worry, and he's going to teach us how to not worry. But first, he talks about some of the things that cause us to worry. The first is finances. Jesus says in Matthew 6, he says, you cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you not to worry. Isn't that interesting? 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was teaching, people were worrying about money just like we do today. You know, a lot of people think, when I make more, then I'll worry less, which sounds right, but it's actually been proven to be not true. Biggie was right. Mo' money, mo' problems. Another source of worry that Jesus mentions is food. Next verse, Matthew 6:25. He says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Now, they worried back then about food because they were poor and they might not have any. We worry about food, but more like whether we're eating too much or eating the right foods, and still we worry about food. A third source of worry Jesus points to is fitness, our health. Jesus says in verse 25, he says, don't worry about your body. And fitness is important, but it's not what's most important, and we don't need to obsess about it. A fourth source of worry Jesus mentions is fashion. Verse 25, and he says, and don't worry about what you wear. So in that day, people were probably struggling to have any clothes to wear, enough clothes to wear. Today, we're more concerned about having the right clothes to wear, right? Am I dressed to impress? Fifth, Jesus says, don't worry about the future. In verse 27, he says, who by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And the fear of aging and of dying is a big concern for some of us. Jesus says a few verses later, a few sentences later, verse 34, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. And the only thing that's certain about the future is the uncertainty of it. So we worry, and Jesus says, oh man, don't do that. Don't worry about tomorrow. So Jesus points to several sources of worry, and I know you could throw in a bunch more, and so could I. But the fact is, no matter what we're worrying about, worrying steals our joy and can lead us to an unproductive life. So how do we stop worrying? Well, we need to understand why we worry. In fact, today we're going to try to take the why out of worry, the why out of anxiety. We need to understand why we worry, and Jesus talks about that too. So let's look at a few more verses right here in the same chapters. First, verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap, which means plant or harvest, or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And then we're going to jump down to verses 28 through 30. He says, see how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus tells us why we worry. And the reason is we think we're God. When Larry Ellison was the CEO of the company Oracle, he had a big ego. And there was a joke people at Oracle told about him. It went like this. Question, what's the difference between God and Larry Ellison? Answer, God doesn't think he's Larry Ellison. And I suspect the same joke could be told about each of us. Our basic fundamental problem in life, which is what leads us to worry, is that we think we're God. Now, we would never say it that way, right? We wouldn't introduce ourselves, hey, I'm God, nice to meet you. But still, in a sense, we act that way. We take on God's job description. Isn't that true? Like, God says that he has a plan for my life, but the reality is I have a plan for my life. And God says that he is going to work out all the details of my life, but I'm trying to work out all the details of my life. And God says that he is going to work out all the things in my life for good, but I'm trying to work out all the things in my life for good. We've taken on God's job description. No wonder we worry. Because I can't do what God can do. Can you? No, none of us can. But we're trying. We're trying to do what God is supposed to do for us. And it's just way too much responsibility. And so we worry. Why? Because we've taken God's place. And so it's like we go through life and we face our fears, but we forget about God. Right? That's us on a daily basis. We face our fears, but we forget about God. And Jesus is telling us if we'd remember God, focus on God, really let God be God, and we would just be what we're supposed to be, we wouldn't worry. Jesus says, hey, it's kind of like birds. Ah! Not like that. And not like that. What the heck is that? Whoa. Jesus says it's like birds in that birds know that they can trust God. I mean, birds don't just sit around in their nest waiting for God to drop food into their laps. Birds get up early, they go looking for food. In fact, they spend most of their time looking for food, and they eat. You know, you hear some people say, oh, you eat like a bird. No, did you know that birds will eat 2 to 3 times their body weight every day? For us, that would be eating 150, 250, 500 pounds a day. I've tried it. It's miserable. See, birds work hard to survive, but then they relax. You don't hear birds chirping at night, do you? It's because they're asleep. They're not worried about how many worms will be out there the next day and if there's going to be a bug shortage. No, they sleep. No Ambien, right? They sleep because they trust God. They instinctively know they have a creator, a heavenly Father, who will take care of them. And we need to learn to trust God. Because when we worry, each and every time we worry, it shows that we don't really trust Him. That's why worry is so dangerous, because in effect, what we're saying is, God, I don't really believe you. I mean, I know you said that you would supply all my needs, but I kind of doubt it. And I know that you said you were going to work together all things for my good, but I don't buy it. And God, I know that you said you love me and you'd feed me and care for me in the same way you do birds, but I don't know that you're telling the truth. Now, again, we might not actually verbalize it that way. We might not say those words, but that is what our worry and our anxiety communicate. But God is a trustworthy God. He has promised us, I'm going to take care of you. You can trust in that. I love what the Bible says in those verses we looked at earlier. It says, when you pray, trusting God, you will experience the peace of God. It will be a peace you don't even understand. When you learn to trust God, you can rest and you can throw your anxiety on Him. Jesus says, it's like birds. You know, birds, they let God be God. They know He'll provide, so they don't worry. You don't need to worry either. And then Jesus makes another comparison. It's actually, this time, it's more of a contrasting example. It's in verses 31 and 32. He says, so don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what should we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. The pagans? What's a pagan? Well, pagan basically just means someone who doesn't know God. And Jesus basically says, then it makes sense for a pagan to worry. Why? They don't have a God to look to. They don't have a God to trust. They don't have a Father to take care of them, and so they have to do it themselves. It makes a lot of sense for someone who doesn't know God to worry, but it doesn't make any sense for a Christian to worry. Why? They have a Father to take care of them. And you have a God who loves you. And so, listen, if it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. You can be confident of that. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. So you can let God be God. You can let him do his job. And you, you can just be you. You just do your job. And if we do that, we won't worry. We'll still be tempted to worry, but we'll be able to win the war on worry. Now, you might be thinking, okay, but what's my job, right? You said, let God be God, you do your job. If I'm going to trust God to take care of the details of my life and my future, what am I supposed to do? What's my job? It's a good question. That's a great question. And that is the next verse. Here's what Jesus says. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Jesus concludes this whole section of worry saying, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Your job is to put God first in your life, to seek him and his righteousness. Then you won't have to worry about all these other things, because God will give you what you need. He's promised. Because if it's on your mind, it's on God's heart, you can trust him. Your job is to put God first in your life. So can I ask, what's first in your life right now? Are you doing your job? God will do his. He will meet your needs. He'll take care of you. But are you doing your job? Are you putting God first? I mean, be honest. What's at the top of your list? Now, most Christian people would say, well, God's first. God is. Okay. Right answer. But is there any evidence of that in your life? Is he really first? Is God first? Like if we looked at your calendar, what you do, spend your time on, would it say that God is first? If we asked your family, people who know you, is God first? Would they say that God is first? If we looked at your checkbook, how you spend your money, would it say God is first? Is there any evidence that God is first? Is God first? If he's not, you're going to worry. It's like we've talked about. The center of anxiety has I in the middle, right? And I need to move myself out of the middle of anxiety to get God into the center. And when I do that, I can transfer the weight of my anxiety to God, and God will give me peace. If I don't put God first, I'm going to worry, because I've got to be God. I'm playing God. I've taken on God's job description, and it's just too much. But if you put God first, if you seek him, if you know him more and more, you'll learn to trust him. And if you want to seek him like that, if you want to know him like that, can I encourage you, take a next step in your journey with him. And the best next step would be next step. We have this class. It's too fun to call it a class, but it's not a class. It's a get together. It's an experience. And we call it Next Step, and it happens online. And if you go to it, it will point you to next steps and equip you to take those next steps in your journey with God. You can find out more. You can get into the Next Step group on Facebook or just in the chat room. Say, hey, I'm interested in Next Step, and we'll contact you. It will help you to get to know him. And when you do, you'll find that you're not worrying, because you'll find that God is close enough for him to comfort you. And because you'll know God's heart, and you'll know that if it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. So let's pray for that right now. And then we're gonna have the band lead us in a song, and you can sing, you can use this time to pray, whatever you need to do. And then we'll close the service. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this chance that we have to be with you and to be together here online. And God, we all have lots of things to worry about. Some of them are irrational, and most of them, many of them, feel very rational. They're things that we are trying to solve, trying to fix, trying to figure out, trying to plan for. And God, what if at the heart of our worry is that we are trying to be the God of our lives, that we have taken on your job description, which is just too much for us. God, would you help us to know how to let you be God and how to let us just be us? Would you grow our relationship with you and our trust in you, our faith, so that we can know that whatever it is that's, you know, all over our head, that's banging around our mind, if it's on our mind, it's on your heart. You know, and you care. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.